In 1521, at the Diet of Worms, Martin Luther was asked to recant his writings. Luther responded, "Unless I am convinced from the sacred scriptures that I am in error, I cannot and will not recant. Here I stand. I cannot do otherwise. God help me. Amen." Will you stand with us as we proclaim these Reformation truths in the 21st century? You can take your stand by becoming a monthly or annual contributor to Issues Etc. To find out how you can become an Issues Etc. confessor, apologist, reformer, or patron, check out the donate page of our website, issuesetc.org. Just look for the picture of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses. Help us proclaim the solas of the Reformation, Scripture, faith, grace, and Christ alone. Here we stand, Issues Etc., and you. Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. It's Monday afternoon, the 3rd of October. Deaconess Pam Nielsen joins us for the next half hour. We're going to talk about Joseph forgiving his brothers, coming to the end of a long story and almost the end of a long life for Joseph. He has really seen it all, from favorite son to sold by his brothers into slavery. They almost killed him, but didn't. He becomes a slave, and he rises to the top of a nobleman's house, only to be seduced by the nobleman's wife and accused of rape, thrown in prison, languishing there for, I think, the better part of a decade. He has a chance to get out, but everyone who could help him forgets him, until Pharaoh has a dream, the top man in Egypt, and from that moment on, Joseph is pretty much in charge of affairs in Egypt, and he has a very special job. It is to preserve the life not only of the Egyptians, but ultimately of the whole world, and ultimately, we will discover, of his own family, and to continue the promise of God. Deaconess Pam Nielsen is a regular guest. She's editor of Witness, Mercy, and Life Together for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Pam, welcome back.
Thank you. It's great to be back.
Hey, first of all, a kind word about Tom Numala, who your former colleague at Concordia Publishing House,
yes,
who really did great work filling in for you in the last couple weeks.
Yes, Tom is a wonderful former colleague, and I understand that it was announced this week that he now is the senior editor for Sunday School and youth resources at CPH. So he has taken on a new mantle and a whole lot of new responsibility, and he was a wonderful colleague for 9 years and a partner in the faith and a partner in the work that we did to faithfully provide materials for teachers of the Word to children in the church.
We're picking up on the Joseph story, actually kind of bringing it to a conclusion here in Genesis chapter 42, and I find it remarkable that the writer of the book of Genesis then slows down so much to tell this part of the story. That seems to say to me, this is really the most important part of the story. And we will find in the course of our conversation here, Pam, that at long last, Joseph, who has been so wronged by his brothers, he could rightly blame his brothers for every bad thing that's happened in his life, and he's had a lot of bad things happening in his life.
Yeah.
If I were in his shoes at this moment, with my brothers before me, essentially at my mercy, I don't think I could ever forgive him the way that Joseph did. What are your thoughts there?
Well, that's exactly right. He almost does what's inhuman, unhuman, not humanly possible for so many of us who would find it very hard to forgive such great sins against him, especially when he now is in a position of power and control where he could exact equal or greater revenge or payback for what they did to him. And yet, he... by the grace of God working in him, as a child of God who through all of this looked to God for care, for endurance, for everything that he needed, he's able to look with compassion on his brothers and see them as God's children too, and see them as ones he needed to forgive. And it really is an amazing story after this, you know, it It's a 17-year story, which is, I think, something to really think about as a Sunday school teacher. We teach this often. I guess this year we're teaching it in a few weeks. Sometimes this story is taught in 1 week in a VBS or a Sunday school morning. But it's a 17-year journey for Joseph from the time his brothers first sinned against him to when they come back together and begin to be reconciled.
Joseph at first pretends not to recognize his brothers. The writer of Genesis tells us quite emphatically that he does recognize them. They do not recognize him. And
yeah.
The first thing he wants to do, for whatever reason, is put them to the test. He accuses them of being spies and then says, look, I'll keep one of you guys as a hostage, but the missing brother, this youngest one, you got to bring him here to me as proof of the fact that you're not here to spy us out. What's Joseph doing here?
Well, he's making them come fully forward, isn't he? And making them look to him and to be finally honest, and he's providing an opportunity to have them all together, I think, so that he can embrace them together again. And it's an opportunity for them to face their sin with him and for him to forgive them. And he's really kind of setting up, I think, that great meeting that we know comes at the end of this journey of 17 years. And he's got the upper hand because they are beholden to him. They need him now, and he recognizes them. They don't recognize him. And so he can order this in a way that it will have the outcome that allows him to embrace them with forgiveness and for them to show their sorrow for their sin.
Tell us the rest of the story then. After Joseph wants to see all the brothers accounted for and sends his brothers with their bags full of grain back to his father.
Well, they come back to their father and they tell him everything that's happened. And that's in the last part of chapter 42. They tell him about the Lord of the land speaking roughly to them and them telling him that they're honest. They kind of recount the whole interaction. And still not clear who this is. They said, then this man, the Lord of the land, said to us, by this I shall know that you are honest. Leave one of your brothers with me. Take grain for the famine of your households. He wants to make sure they come back. And so they tell him all of this. Bring your youngest brother to me. They're recounting the story. And the father is there hearing this. And he says to them, you have bereaved me of my children. First, Joseph is no more, and now you have taken the youngest, Simeon, is no more, and you would take Benjamin. And all this has come against me. The father can hardly believe what he's hearing. And then the one son, Reuben, says, kill my two sons if I do not bring him back to you. Put him in my hands, and I will bring him back to you. But he says to him, my son shall not go down with you, for his brother is dead, and he is the only one left. If harm should happen to him on the journey that you are to make, you would bring down my gray hairs with sorrow to Sheol. Daddy's not going to let this happen. He's suffered too much loss, and so he puts his foot down. And yet, then we go into chapter 43 and the severity of the famine. And they've eaten up what they brought from Egypt. And the father says, you know, go again, buy some food. And the response is, the man told us, you cannot come back unless your brother is with you. So they remind the father again of what Joseph has said. And, you know, if you'll send us our brother, we'll go and we'll be able to buy food. But if you don't, he's not going to see us. He's not going to give us what we need. So the boys are in a bind, and they're making it clear to their father. And so he says, send the boy with me. he tells us to Israel, and we will arise and go that we may live and not die. And both we and you and also our little ones, I will be a pledge of his safety. So the one says, I will make sure that he goes and he's safe and he comes back to you. And so the father says, you know, if it must be so, then do this. Take some of the choice fruits, carry a present, typical Middle Eastern hospitality in the way that you would go, bringing gifts, honey, gum, myrrh, nuts and things, and double the money with you and carry back with you the money that was returned in the mouth of your sack. So he wants to be gracious back to the one who's been gracious to them. And take also your brother and go again to this man. And still not sure who this man is. And then he sends them with a blessing that God Almighty grant you mercy before the man, and may he send back your other brother and Benjamin. And as for me, if I am bereaved of my children, I am bereaved. So the father now going, trusting God, placing them in God's care. And it's exactly his prayer, may God grant you mercy before the man. It's exactly what God is going to do through Joseph when he encounters those brothers. And they come back and face him. He calls them in. He says to the steward of the house, bring them into the house, slaughter an animal, and get ready for us to dine. And these things are done. But the brothers are afraid because they were brought to his house. And they're worried about the money and all of the things that have passed. And they went up to the steward of Joseph's house, and they speak to him. And the reply is, peace to you. Do not be afraid. Your God and the God of your father has put treasure in your sacks. I received your money. And then he brings Simeon out to them. And then when they bring the men into Joseph's house, they give them water. They wash their feet, and they're prepared. They prepare the present for Joseph's coming. And so all of these preparations are taking place. They're getting a different picture here.
All right, when we come back, more on Joseph forgiving his brothers. Deaconess Pam Nielsen is our guest. Stay tuned.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
Y'all been hearing about Country Bob's all-purpose sauce and how it tastes great on any and everything you may be cooking and serving at your family dinner table. Well, over the years, I've discovered that Country Bob's is much more than that. You see, Country Bob's is that secret ingredient in many of my recipes, whether it be for chili soups or stews or that favorite marinade for the select meat of the day we're grilling. If you're interested in discovering the secret, log on to countrybobs.com and check out their blog, exchange recipes, or buy yourself a Country Bob's cookbook and become part of the Country Bob's family. And remember, it all comes down to the sauce.
For sinners only. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
In 1521, at the Diet of Worms, Martin Luther was asked to recant his writings. Luther responded, "Unless I am convinced from the sacred scriptures that I am in error, I cannot and will not recant. Here I stand. I cannot do otherwise. God help me. Amen." Will you stand with us as we proclaim these Reformation truths in the 21st century? You can take your stand by becoming a monthly or annual contributor to Issues, Etc. To find out how you can become an Issues, Etc. confessor, apologist, reformer, or patron, check out the donate page of our website, issuesetc.org. Just look for the picture of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses. Help us proclaim the solas of the Reformation, Scripture, faith, grace, and Christ alone. Here we stand, Issues, Etc., and you.
How do I know where you come from? You could be telling me that you are hungry. That could be lies. How do I know who you are?
Welcome back to Issues Etc. We're talking about Joseph forgiving his brothers in the book of Genesis, beginning at Genesis chapter 42 and running through Genesis chapter 50, actually, the last long chapters of this story. Deaconess Pam Nielsen is our guest for the next 10 minutes of the program. In the second hour of Issues Etc. today, Pastor Brent Kuhlman will join us. He's pastor of Trinity Lutheran Church in Murdoch, Nebraska. We'll talk about the teachings and practices of Mormonism. Pam, I don't think that Joseph is necessarily toying with his brothers, but he is manipulating the situation pretty heavily. He has them there before him. It seems like everything's good now. He seems to trust them. He's feasting and providing them with all sorts of great things from his table. But then when they go back, their sacks again filled with grain, he plants a cup in Benjamin, the youngest's sack, and this is his means of bringing them back one more time. Mm-hmm. Even before they get very far from the city, he brings them back, and it sounds like he got the situation precisely set up the way he wants so he can reveal himself to his brothers.
Yeah, and imagine the horror that they're tracked down on their way back. They don't know that they've been set up. They don't know that this cup has been planted, and it's been planted in the very sack of the son who... You know, they had to wrestle their father to be allowed to bring him because their father was so adamant he could not lose another son. So now they're brought back. They have to face Joseph. They go through and you know, he says, whoever has this is going to become my servant now, which means they're going to have to leave Benjamin behind. And the horror of this and what this means for them to go back their father, and one of them, Judah, you know, says, "Let me be your, you know, let me speak a word in my Lord's ears. Do not be angry." They talk about their father and his younger brother, the child of his old age, and he talks about the one being dead, meaning Joseph, and he does not. They don't want to bring any more hurt to his father. And so they present this to Joseph, and then he says, you know, the boy cannot leave his father, for if he should leave his father would die. And so this sets up this whole kind of thing. So they're telling them the whole seriousness of it, and it allows Joseph to face them with who he is. They're faced with their sin. He can't control himself anymore. And through all of this, you see the emotion, the love Joseph has, the deep emotion for everything that's happened between them. And there in chapter 45, then Joseph could not control himself before all those who stood by him. He cried, and he sends everyone away. And he says, so no one stayed with him when Joseph made himself known to his brothers. He weeps aloud, so that the Egyptians could hear it. Even though they'd been sent out, they could hear it. The household of Pharaoh could hear it. And he says, I am Joseph. Is my father still alive? This moment. And, of course, it's in the musical. It's a great story, better than any movie script, because it's real. He faces them. I'm alive. You thought I was dead. You thought you ended me. I'm here, and I've had all of this over you, and this great reunion. They can't answer him. They don't know what to say. They're speechless. Of course they are. And he says, come near to me, and they come near, and he says, I am your brother whom you sold, and he recounts the whole thing. And in this, you have this wonderful, wonderful story of forgiveness for sins, undeserved forgiveness. And in it, you have a picture of God in Christ who forgives us. We are like those brothers that sinned against their father, that sinned against their brother in what they did out of their selfishness, out of their jealousy, out of all of the sin in them that caused them to do these things. They don't deserve forgiveness. We don't deserve God's forgiveness. We daily sin much, and yet he sends his son. Offers him up as a sacrifice on the cross to pay for our sins so that he can do what Joseph here does with his brothers, embrace us with his love and forgiveness, his mercy and grace. And that's the Christ connection in this story, and you got to make it this week, teachers. Otherwise, this is just a cool story about brothers and their dad and Egypt and famine and human forgiveness. But it's more than that. Joseph was able to forgive because of his Heavenly Father and the forgiveness that he knew he had for his sins. It's all tied together. There's no way we can forgive without first having been forgiven, saved, redeemed by Christ. And having that, we're able to forgive the bully on the playground, our big brother, whoever it is that is our enemy or who harms us.
In chapter 46, and this is often missed in the telling of this story, when Jacob begins to go down, mm-hmm. at Joseph's invitation, God appears to him after sacrifice and reiterates the promise. And he says, go down to Egypt. This is the way I want it. I'm going to make of you a great nation, and I'm going to bring you back out again. So God has done all of this in order to further the promise he first made to Abraham. That promise that you said so well just now has its fulfillment in Jesus Christ. Now that we stand on the other side of that promises fulfillment. What is this story for us today, beyond just a remarkable example of forgiveness? What is it for us?
Well, this was all part of God's plan for the salvation of his people. It required Egypt. Pharaoh elevates Joseph. God blesses all of this. All of this, though, is ultimately for the Son of God to be called out of Egypt. It's all part of this thread of salvation, making sure that the events and the places and the people come together so that ultimately Christ could be born of a woman and live among us and die among us as one of us for us on the cross. So this is all part of that greater plan of salvation and God ordering that. And so, yes, it goes beyond just being a story or an example of forgiveness, but it's tied to your salvation and my salvation and the children we teach this week in Sunday school. These things had to happen. They were God's way of bringing salvation to us in Christ Jesus.
Pam, before we let you go, tell us about the new work that you're doing as editor of Witness, Mercy, and Life Together for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. About a minute, Pam.
Sure. I've moved a few miles further west to the International Center of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and I'm working in communications. And largely my job is to help communicate the story of the church in her witness, in her mercy, and her life together, both to the church and to the world. And so in the weeks to come, I'm going to be connecting that work with the Sunday school work that I so loved for so many years, and sharing with you Sunday school teachers stories that you can share in your Sunday school classrooms about missionaries and mercy work and things that the church is doing both here in the United States and abroad to proclaim the name of Christ through witness and mercy. And real excited about that. There's amazing things going on in the name of Christ through the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and I think kids will be excited about it. And we're going to target those stories to things that we know kids will grab onto. And then there'll be web links and that kind of thing for connecting to videos and other information. So stay tuned. We've got some exciting stories to tell. Might not be every week, but that's the goal ultimately, because there's enough to tell you.
Deaconess Pam Nielsen is editor of Witness, Mercy, and Life Together for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. As usual, in all of our conversations with her, we follow the plan laid out by Concordia Publishing House's great Sunday school curriculum called Growing in Christ, Christ-centered and cross-focused. As you can see, a story about Joseph that stands on its own as a great story of the Old Testament was never intended to stand on its own, but to point us forward to Joseph's fulfillment in Christ and his forgiveness of us, and all for the sake of his death on the cross and his resurrection. That's what Growing in Christ is all about, whether it's in the Old or New Testament. Find out more about Growing in Christ, Our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand or call Concordia Publishing House and order a free sample, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Pam, thanks for being our guest.
Thank you. It's great to be back.
In Hour 2 of Issues, Etc. on this Monday afternoon, October the 3rd, Pastor Brent Kuhlman joins us. We're going to be talking about the teachings and practices of Mormonism. Mormonism, of course, has been thrown into the spotlight yet again, not only by ever-popular talk show host Glenn Beck, who has a kind of peculiar form of Mormonism, peculiar beliefs that he's mixing in there, but also two presidential candidates on the GOP side who regard themselves as Mormons. We'll see what Mormons are, what they believe, what they teach, and what they practice in Hour 2 of Issues, Etc. Our call-in number for the next hour, 1-877-623-MYIE. Talk back at issuesetc.org. You can always send us a tweet at issuesetc. I'm Todd Wilkin, Hour 2 of Issues, Etc. in 7 minutes.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.